Portions of this program may be pre-recorded.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking with a Florida legislator from the representing us in the District 1 of the state of Florida, Congressman Mike Hill. I don't know about what you know of the congressman, but I am thankful for his stand on the biblical issues, theological issues, political issues from a conservative vantage point. I'm thankful for that. Congressman, delighted to have you with us. I'm thankful again for the privilege we have of having this discussion. There's so many issues that we're faced with today. But let me ask you to take just a moment. What do you think the number one issue is today that needs to get our attention, especially as conservatives, especially as Christians? What's the number one issue from your perspective that you think we need to be concerned about and do something about?
I think our number one issue, Dr. Youngblood, is our economy right now. Getting people back to work, opening businesses again. I think that's the number one issue that is facing us, because that is how our economy, that's how our nation functions, is when the economy is moving, when it's booming. And we are seeing a concerted effort right now by those on the left to try their best to keep this economy shut down, to not let people go back to work, to not let parents send their children to school. And it's all in a design to affect our economy in a negative way, which was, before this COVID-19 took place, was at a booming pace, which the nation hadn't seen in generations. It was on pace to outperform anything we have seen our economy do before. Now, I don't think that this COVID-19 was intentionally set to destroy the economy, but when they saw the effects that it was having, the left took advantage of that, and they're trying to just keep it going as long as they can to hurt President Trump's abilities. We have to focus on getting people back to work. As you said earlier in the show, getting back to normal, sending your children to school, parents going to work, coming home to a family that is together, a man and a woman in a household, raising their children in the admonition of the Lord. That's, I think, is the biggest issue we're facing right now, getting back to normal.
Getting back to normal and getting the economy back on its feet. And with that being said, Congressman Hill, Nancy Pelosi and the AOC and Chuck Schumer and that group, they're now pushing for another stimulus bill, another assistance bill for the merchants and for the people. And they're talking about now, because I believe it's the this week or next week is the last week of the bonus of $600 additional unemployment. And because of that bonus of $600 a week plus the regular unemployment, making the individual have between $800 and $1,000 a week to sit down and do nothing, it's causing grave difficulties for the merchants to get their employees back to be able to reopen. And yet with our federal government, with the income from the federal government's level on an annual basis is about $4 trillion. And so far they have doled out about $6 trillion, and they're wanting to do something again in that realm. What is your stand, just out of curiosity? Do you feel that there needs to be another printing of several trillion dollars and passing it out to the general public and to the businesses? Or do you feel there just needs to be taking the ceiling off, taking the cap off, and saying to each city and state that you be careful, you take care of your employees, you look out for your customers, but open up as much as you can and as much as you want to, and let it be left to the free enterprise system?
That's the route we should take, Dr. Youngblood, is to open business as much as possible. And again, businesses will be able to make the decisions that are going to be best for their business. They have to, if they're going to remain open. And so I think we should do that instead of the strong hand of government. And the spending is insane right now, Dr. Youngblood. That money is not free. It is going to have to be paid for, paid back. And as you had mentioned, they are giving people $800 a week now to stay at home. And I know of a local restaurant here where I spoke to the owner not too long ago, and he said to one of his employees, you stay at home and continue collecting that check because I can't pay you that much. So it is absolutely hurting businesses right now from getting their employees back for the businesses to function and to serve their customers. I think what we're seeing from the left, Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer, that they recognize that, and that's why they want to spend another $3 to $4 trillion like it's nothing. But I'm also disappointed even on the Republican side, the Senate is saying that they want to spend $1 trillion. Both are way too much and not necessary in my mind. And instead, we need to, as you say, practice clean hygiene, protect our most vulnerable, and everyone get back to work as best you can, letting businesses decide how they want to operate.
And without that approach, what we're watching is the strong arm of government coming in and dictating to we the people how we ought to live our lives. There's one state, and I've forgotten the state that it was in, that is presently operated on that basis, that you're forced to wear a mask. If you don't wear a mask, you're caught in the general public without a mask. You can be fined $500. If it's the second time, it's $750. If it's the third time you're caught without a mask on in public, it's a $1,000 fine and 90 days in jail. And what I have discovered, Congressman, is that every case thus far across America, every state where there's been a so-called infraction where a pastor would be arrested or ticket written or fined or put in jail, or businesses, for example, the barber, I believe it is in Michigan, where the barber, 77 years old, tried to open up. They tried to force him to stay closed, et cetera, et cetera. He was very fortunate to get a constitutional attorney. When it got to Supreme Court of his state, Supreme Court voted 7-0, that a person cannot be restrained from working and making a living, cannot be restrained by government, prevented from working and making a living. And I believe that would hold true in every case. And in every other case where it's been a pastor or a church with some infraction, where there's been a fine or a ticket, time it got to an administrative hearing. Time it got to an administrative hearing, all charges were dropped summarily. It's because they realize, in my most humble opinion, and you are the one that is expertise in this realm, but in my most humble opinion, it is recognized by the authorities that these things they're trying to enforce upon the general public are unconstitutional, unenforceable, and absolutely illegal. How do you respond to that thought?
Absolutely, Dr. Youngblood, and you raise an important point, in that what we're seeing here is this attack coming from the left is they're also concentrating on the Christian church.
Yes.
They are trying their best to shut down the church, where they are saying that churches, first of all, they're trying to prevent them from meeting at all. Then they go so far as to say you can't have a choir that sings. Imagine the audacity of that. Of a government official telling a church you can't have people singing in your church, and what times you can meet and cannot meet, even preventing funeral processions from happening. But at the same time, you can't go to church, but you can go to Walmart. You can't go to church, but you can go to a liquor store. You can't sing at a church, but you can go to an abortion facility. When you look at what this is, it's an attack on the basic fundamental values of America, on Christianity, and on conservatism. That is what we are seeing.
I'm glad you touched on that. I'm looking at a document in my hand. It's put out by the Texas Medical Association, and it has a chart showing low risk, low moderate risk, moderate to high risk, and then high risk. And it lists a whole litany of things here that are in the risk category, anywhere from low to high risk. And you can go all the way down the chart. And the next to the highest risk for getting COVID-19 is if you go to any religious service.
Wow.
I find that so absolutely evident of just exactly what you've said. Of every risk that you can take, the next one is going to a bar. The top risk, going to a bar, highest risk, and the second to that only is attending a religious service. It is as though we're made to believe by the white jacketed officials in the health industry that somehow, some way, that the COVID-19 resides in church houses, that it is only you're only at high risk if you go to worship. Every place, that's okay. You can have abortions continually during all of this thing. You can have all of the thuggery on the streets with the robbing and vandalizing, the burning of buildings, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, destroying property and businesses. You can do that. You can have the Antifa. You can have the Black Lives Matter. You can have them roaming the streets by the thousands, and that's okay. That's not high risk. Even some of our leftist politicians have said, we're not going to interfere with their First Amendment right. First Amendment right also covers not only peaceful protest, which we've not seen a peaceful protest yet, but it covers also our right to worship, our freedom of religion. And yet they're foreclosing on that. And I find it antithetical to anything that would be called constitutionality. And we're finding that taking place. And I'm saddened to see any of our states, any of the cities, where you have the confusion, where you can wear a mask or not wear a mask. And yet, what is the state, South Dakota? They've never put any restrictions on the people, never required them to wear a mask, never required them to be social distancing, et cetera. And their state has the lowest number of COVID-19 cases.
That's right, Dr. Youngblood. And it's also true with the country of Sweden. They never did shut down their economy. They never did demand people wear a mask and not go to worship or go to other places. And we find that their numbers are some of the lowest in Europe. And so that's what we should have done here. But what I think we are finding, or what we are witnessing, Dr. Youngblood, is the left is being very loud and rabid, and too many on the right are being quiet, that they are not standing up, especially those who are elected, and standing up to their oath of office that they swore to the living God that they would support, protect, and defend our Constitution and the God-given rights that are codified there. We don't see them standing up. And also, Dr. Youngblood, what I think we are witnessing too much is the church is not rising up and being a voice in this. Too many in the church are being compliant, are being complacent with what the left is demanding of them. Now, thank goodness my church here in Pensacola, Marcus Point Baptist Church, initially they did go to online services, but about a month ago they opened up completely, and we have two services on Sunday and also services on Wednesday, and our church is packed, Dr. Youngblood. We have hundreds of people.
I'm thankful to hear that. That's the way it ought to be.
Who are coming to church. Nobody's getting sick. No new COVID cases. And that's the way it should be. The church needs to rise up, Dr. Youngblood. The church cannot sit out this next election. It is going to mean the future of this country, its destiny. If we are going to be a nation that, as you mentioned earlier, become like Rome and implode from the inside, or are we going to be a nation that is going to continue to prosper? And the reason we are to prosper is so that we can preach the gospel to the world. That is why the United States was formed in the first place. God ordained that we would be a nation that would preach the gospel to the world. And that is why we're so prosperous, so we can be able to do that. And the church needs to rise up, take its prominent position, go and vote. And I'm going to say it, you go and vote for conservatives, you vote for President Trump, and get this nation back to its place where it needs to be, of a thriving economy and preaching the gospel.
Amen, brother. I couldn't have said it better myself. We do need to recognize that it is a sad scenario where pastors, churches, Christians in general will simply bow in obeisance to government demands. Franklin Graham had written an article just a few days ago and was pleading with churches and with Christians to vote and to vote for President Trump and to realize what we have in relationship to the freedoms and the opportunities and the liberties we have in America as a result of God's blessing upon our nation. I've said so much recently in particular, the Bible says that we're to be salt and light. And it's talking about Christians, Christians being the church. If the salt hath lost its savor, what is it worth but be cast out and trodden underfoot? What if, and I've used this hypothetically because I don't know the mind of God, but what if, as a result of the apostasy prior to COVID-19, the apostasy, the falling away of the Christian from the churches, the apostasy of the church, what if as a result of that falling away, this is God's judgment that is progressively strengthening as a result of that, God's judgment on the church that's turned her back on God? I know one of the churches up in Tennessee that I happen to be familiar with, they've been closed for months and months and months now. And they've just recently grown enough backbone to open up and was a relatively medium-sized church for a Baptist church, had about 250 to 300 people in attendance on a Sunday. And they opened back up now, I think it's about 3 weeks ago, and they're doing good to have 50 to 75 people. And when the members are contacted about being in church, coming to church, they said, well, we're doing this, we're visiting family, we're going there, et cetera, et cetera. They have made other arrangements since they weren't looked at. It wasn't looked at as being important to go to church. They made other arrangements for their life on Sundays. And I believe it was George Barna, the Barna Report, or the Pew Research, I've forgotten which, that just a few weeks ago said that the church would probably never go back to normal. In fact, he projected that hundreds, if not thousands of churches would, quote, never reopen because of the number of people that will drop out and or because are the financials so depleted. There are churches right here in this city that are having major, major budget problems because people are no longer giving. But yet we find that there are those that have had pastors that have said, we're going to open up, we're going to open our church, we're going to worship God, we're going to sing, we're going to use hymn books if we desire to, that God has blessed it, and the people are continuing to be blessed through the Word of God. I'm thankful for what we've seen with our people in our church of honoring God and being faithful in tithes and offerings, being faithful in attendance, being faithful in worship and coming together in fellowship. And I believe that is a test, as you said, that we're facing today. Congressman, changing direction for just a moment, looking at an article that says Chicago removes Columbus statue from Grant Park in the dead of night. The statue was being removed partly to de-escalate tensions between protesters and police, according to the report. You're familiar with that, familiar with what's taking place on a national level. Where are we going? When will this end? What will the future hold in relationship to our national heritage, our monuments, and our statues? They're obliterating history by removing them. What should we do as citizens? How should we respond? I understand that you have a case there in Pensacola that gives a good illustration of where we're talking.
Yes, Dr. Youngblood, we have to stand up and push back against this cancel culture that we are seeing sweeping across this nation. We have a very small number, a small minority of radicals on the left who are demanding that we remove anything that they think might be offensive to them from our culture. And they're trying to say it's because of racism, slavery, and all that. That's not it. What they are trying to do is to remove the historical facts of why this nation was formed and its purpose. And that's why they're attacking like Columbus. They started with just the Confederate monuments. Now they're going after Columbus, and they're tearing down all kinds of monuments, and they won't be satisfied. It's insatiable. Once they begin tearing down, they'll want to continue. Well, they tried it here in Pensacola. We have a Confederate memorial that was erected in 1891 as a way of bringing healing to the Civil War. They had sons, brothers, fathers, husbands who went off to battle and were never heard from again. And so as a way of bringing closure, healing to the wound, they erected this memorial and put an unnamed soldier at the top of it. And some names on the memorial. Again, it was just a way of bringing closure, much like our Vietnam memorial. And so some radicals on the left, Antifa and Black Lives Matter, we have them here in Pensacola. They're very small, but they're here. They're loud and vocal, pressured our mayor and our city council to take a vote. They voted to remove it. We then filed a lawsuit, and we were able to get an injunction, a temporary restraining order. A judge here says, no, you are not to pull that monument down until we have the opportunity to gather petitions to have a referendum on with all the citizens on whether or not to keep that monument. And what's so important about that, Dr. Youngblood, is that those monuments do not belong to just those on a city council. It does not belong to those just on a county commission. They belong to all of us. Yes. It's all of ours. And if we want to remove it, it should be asked of all the citizens. That would be like, Dr. Youngblood, my house. Somebody says, Mike, I don't like you. I don't like the way you behave. We're going to take down your house. It doesn't belong to you. You don't have the authority to take down my house. Well, it's the same thing with those monuments. It belongs to all of us. It doesn't belong to just a select few of either leftists or those who are too cowardly to stand up, to make a stand, and will cave in to the left. So we were successful here in Pensacola at protecting our monuments. And I know in Jacksonville, you have a mayor who caved and took down many monuments, many historical artifacts, has removed them, and he needs to look at our example of saying, let's get the people to vote on this, because I think what they're going to find, and that's what they don't want, is a vast majority want those historical monuments, those pieces of art, those cenotaphs, to remain.
Yes. I am thankful for what you were able to accomplish there in Pensacola with that. Maybe that will be a pattern that will be set for other cities to have the tools. And by the way, you perhaps are familiar with it, that Representative, is it Sapatini, that filed suit against the mayor at the behest of a group of citizens here in Jacksonville to prevent him from having any of the monuments taken down until the courts can make a decision on the direction of it. And I'm thankful for that. We need more across America that will take that stand. But most of this is coming, as you are aware, from the BLM, Black Lives Matter, which is nothing but a socialist, Marxist, communist organization to overthrow the representative form and constitutional republic that we have in our government. They want a Marxist governmental system. Speak to that issue quickly for us, and then want to trickle down to your election and what we can do to help with that. But with the BLM, it has a lot of folks, especially black people, that have the opinion, the feeling somehow that they're trying to protect skin color or race, and it has nothing to do with that at all, as I have researched and understand it. Speak to that issue and how we need to view it, especially as Christians, as pastors. I've seen white pastors, black pastors from the pulpits praise Black Lives Matter, how it is so needed, how we need to honor them and recognize them, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Even Dan Cathy with Chick-fil-A that praised Black Lives Matter and said that all Christians need to basically shine their boots because of the race issue in America, et cetera. Speak to that issue and inform our public and our listeners today the dangers of taking that approach.
Yes. Black Lives Matter is not concerned about the outcome or welfare of black people. They are a Marxist organization. They are a part of the group that want to tear down the fabric of this nation. If you look at their tenets of what they stand for, you will see that it is exactly, and they have admitted that they are trained Marxists.
Yes.
They want to attack the family. They want to remove God from the, and the reason why they want to remove God, Dr. Youngblood, is because as we see in other nations, communist and socialist nations, China and Russia, they have to remove God because they don't want you to know that your rights come from God. They don't want you to know that there is something that is higher than they are, higher than the state, which is God. So they remove God so that your allegiance has to be to the state and not a higher power. So this Black Lives Matter, if you donate to them, and I'm sure you've seen this, Dr. Youngblood, if you donate to them, the money immediately goes to Act Blue. And when you click on Act Blue, you see where their money goes to. It goes to Joe Biden, Planned Parenthood, and all these other leftist organizations. It is not about black lives. And I was on a conference call not too long ago with a number of other pastors here in Florida and many other activists and so forth. And they said, Mike, what do you think of all this? And I said, first of all, you are not going to be able to stamp out what you call racism. You can't stop it because it is a condition of man's fallen nature. It's part of his
Absolutely.
Sin nature. I said, they said, okay, then what's the answer? I said, the answer is preach the gospel.
Amen.
That's what Jesus told us to do. He didn't say go preach against racism. He didn't say go preach against murder and adultery. He said, preach the gospel, the good news, and make disciples. So we preach the good news that Jesus is alive. And because he's alive, we can live and our sins can be forgiven. That is liberating good news. And
Amen,
make
brother.
Disciples. You point them towards Jesus. Behave like Jesus. That's the answer. And that's what we
answer.
Need to do.
Congressman, we've got about 45 seconds. I didn't mean for it to get down to that number. But tell us about your election. You're being primaried in August. What is it, August the 18th?
That's right. Yes, sir. People can go
Tell
to
us how
vote.
We can help. What can our listeners do? We need to make sure that you stay in office, brother.
Thank you, Dr. Youngblood. Go to votemikehill.com. Votemikehill.com. And please click on the donate button. The establishment did put someone against me in a primary, but we're confident we're going to do well, but we need your help.
Amen. And pray for Mike Hill for his reelection and go to his website, punch the button, says donate, and do what God would have you to do to let's keep men that are Christian, love the Lord, that are conservatives in office. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us today on Let's Face the Issue. Looking forward to meeting you next time as once again we face the issues.
Listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.